And as I'm not insulting you, I mean, we all have health issues or whatever, get tired standing in worship sometimes or putting your hand up. My man's back there holding the cross the whole service so far. I'm not putting pressure on him, but he's hanging in there. That's awesome. God is so good. God is so good. I guess I believe God does have a word. It won't be a long word, I don't believe, but I do want to start it with a video, and it's a video I've played a million times, and Josh is going to laugh at me and different people probably because they've seen it so many times. I've not played it in 2023 yet, so. But I think it sets up something powerful for you. I want you to watch this video, and I want you to think about this, and I want you to think about the man in this video, not Jesus, the man who was all man, all God, but Peter, the other man in this video. And I want us to think about where we are now and where God wants to take us, okay? Just watch the video. It's like long, I'm sorry. It's like 4 minutes, but, you know, whatever. And it's Lonnie Frisbee.
I'm not looking for any help. And besides, there's nothing to help with. To my boat.
You're right. Give me a helping hand.
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter.
Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life. It says I want one. I tell you. There's no fish out there. Thank you.
change your life. And I will make you a fisherman of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world.
Thank you. If you want to look at John 13, the Gospel of John 13. The Gospel of John 13, I'm going to read out of the Passion Translation, but they're all, they're based on the Greek translation of the Aramaic words of Jesus. They're all good. John 13, verse 33. We got Easter coming up, and you can stand for reading the word if you want to. We've got Easter coming up, and maybe we're a little early. We're ahead of Palm Sunday, barely.
Oh, yeah. Palm Sunday's going to be powerful.
But this scripture is from the night of the Last Supper. Jesus' last meal on this earth with his friends. It's about 3.5 years after that video we just watched, when Jesus ran into a wild young man named Peter. 3.5 years it went by. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of time, a lot of memories. And they're at the last meal. And this is what Jesus said. My dear friends, I only have a brief time left to be with you, and then you will search and long for me. But I tell you what I told the Jewish leaders, you'll not be able to come where I am. So I give you now a new commandment. Love each other just as much as I've loved you. For you, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers.
Yes, yes, yes.
Peter the Rock interjected, but Master, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I'm going, you won't be able to follow, but one day you will follow me there. Peter the Rock said, what do you mean I'm not able to follow you now? I would sacrifice my life to die for you. And Jesus answered, would you really lay down your life for me, Peter? Would you really lay down your life for me, Peter? Here's the absolute truth. Before the rooster crows in the morning, you will say it 3 times. You don't even know me. You may be seated. Powerful moment.
Yes.
Because we see a bookend in life. It's not the whole life of Peter, but a bookend. We see a moment where a man is being called into something great. And I think about my brother back there, right? He's had an intersection with Jesus. And in that moment, it's like when I hear these stories of these people that come and they experience Jesus, they just want to grab a mic and say something. God has done something great. And he has. But it's the start of something. And here we are 3.5 years later, and he's sitting at dinner, and he's seen dead people get out of the dirt. He's seen eyes come into sockets. He's seen withered hands form. He's followed, he gave up his whole life. He gave up his career. He didn't leave his wife, but his wife's at home. He's out on the road with Jesus a lot. He's given up a lot. For 3.5 years to be discipled by Jesus, to be staying with Jesus, to be spending time with Jesus, to see what Jesus did, to hear what Jesus said, to watch what Jesus did. And here they are the night before Jesus would be taken to be crucified. And he has the greatest failure of his entire life. And it's sort of, if you read the whole gospel and you get to this point and you don't know what's coming, if this is a movie, you wouldn't have seen it coming. Because Peter was like the most superhero of all the disciples, it would almost appear, right? I mean, Peter was the one just like right here. They're all sitting to Jesus make his big speech. Peter interrupts him. You know, Peter had that boldness. There was something in Peter that Jesus used. It had to be annoying to his fellow disciples at times. But at the same time, there was something in that Jesus used. Jesus saw something in this cat. This guy's just a fisherman. Fishermen would have been a lot of times lonely people because they fished all night and slept all day. They didn't run the same circles. It's like working the hoodow in the coal mine, Steve. You know, you kind of get a little isolated in a job like that. Peter's only acquaintance would have been the ones he would have seen at the fish market, probably. He would have been more of a loner kind of guy. But there was something in Peter that had to crave something more for his life. And the fact that you're sitting here today, you may say, you know what, my life just doesn't seem to be that connected. I don't seem to be going that anywhere special. It just seems like I'm trying to get by. I don't know if that's you, if there's anybody in this room that feels that way. But I think the fact that you're sitting here this morning, there's something deep inside you that says there might be more. And there's something in that that you just can't let go of. And you try to let go of it, but you can't let go of it. And that's why it's God.
Yes.
And so Jesus ran into this guy, Peter, and Jesus had a plan for Peter. You got to understand that on the boat that day, Jesus had a plan for Peter. But at that night in that dinner, when Jesus said, "You're going to deny me three times," Jesus still had a plan for Peter. Jesus knew on that boat that day that Peter was going to let him down. But Jesus valued the man who was on the other side of the letdown. And that's what you're going to hang on to. That Jesus values the man on the other side of the letdown. He knew you were going to mess up, and he loved you anyway. And he kept... So here's Peter. Powerful man of God. He was in the inner circle. Jesus had many followers, and he had 12, but then he had about 3 that just went places the others didn't go. When it was time to heal Jairus' daughter, he didn't take 12 in the room. He took 3 in the room. One was Peter. When it came time to go to Mount Transfiguration and see the prophet and see Moses and hear God's voice, wasn't 12. It's 3. But Peter was one of them. When it came time in the garden, when Jesus took 3 a little further, it was Peter. There was something special about Peter's destiny that God knew, that Jesus knew when he chose him. There's something special about his plan for him. And I'm here to tell you something. You got to listen to this right now. There's something special in Jesus' plan for you. And you may not see that right now. And you may not recognize that right now. But I'm here to tell you, on the other side, he's waiting and he's going to blow your mind. It's what happens on the other side of the letdown. It's what happens on the other side of the letdown. It was Peter that walked on water. The rest of those cats stayed in the boat and said, "Oh, I'm good. Go Jesus. Go team Jesus. Keep it up, Pastor." But then there was Peter who said, "You know what? If he can walk on that water, he's told me to follow him. He told me to follow him." Why do you go there? Because Jesus told me to follow him. Home and do the same thing? Yeah. Good. I can stay in the boat. Boats are cool. I like boats. But Jesus is out there walking in that water. And so if he's out there walking in that water, I need to go check out what's going on right there. So Peter got out on that water. And he did something no man's done since that I know of. Maybe they have. Maybe it wasn't televised. He walked on water. He walked on water. How you doing? He was a superhero of the disciples in those sense. He's just a man, but I'm not trying to elevate him anyway, but I'm trying to say there's something special. You remember all the disciples together? What did Jesus say about it? They were all sitting around. Jesus said, they got to the area of Caesarea Philippi, and Jesus said, who do men say I am? Because everybody's trying to trip him up, find out who Jesus was. They were trying to get him to say something. The enemy's always trying to get you to say something. And he's trying to get him to say something. So Jesus said to his disciples, who do you say I am? He says, well, some say you're John the Baptist, some say Elisha, some say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? Yes. Peter interrupted him. Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. You are now Simon, the rock. Upon this rock I shall build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against that church. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. I shall give you the keys of the kingdom. You are Peter the rock. There's something special. There's something special about Peter. But here's the trip. Look at this. At that very moment, when Jesus is prophesying and telling his purpose, Jesus knows this night is coming. Jesus knows the letdown is coming. Jesus wasn't shocked. Jesus told him he was going to do it. Because he knew the flesh. But he knew there was something on the other side of that letdown. He was going to use to change the world on the other side of the letdown. And so, Peter done all these amazing things, and Peter had seen Lazarus come forth, and Peter had seen Jairus' daughter, a dead girl, sit up. Jesus had seen, Peter had seen all this. And then he gets to this night, when the scripture reveals that he did deny Jesus three times. The temple guards came to get Jesus that night as they went up to the garden and prayed. And Jesus, in great anguish, said, Father, if there's any other way, but your will be done. And they started to get Jesus, and Peter cut off the soldier's ear. And you know the story, Jesus healed the soldier's ear. And they said, we're looking for Jesus. And Jesus says, I am he. And they all just fainted in the spirit. And just an amazing thing. And then they all run in the dirt, Jesus. And this same Peter who boasted that I'll never leave your side. This same Peter that bragged about how he was never going to leave his side. Did indeed deny him three times. And their eyes locked by the fire. As they gathered to warm themselves in the fire, and they saw Jesus over there. Peter's eyes locked his eyes. And so Peter had to endure the fact that the one he just let down in the moment he needed him the most was looking at him eye to eye, eyes penetrating his very soul. What a moment that would have been for Peter, and that's what I want to talk for just a minute about, is Peter just had went from the greatest high. I mean, he was this regular fisherman, and all of a sudden he discovered that God had this purpose. And he saw amazing things that nobody has ever seen before. And he's right there on the edge. And he has the greatest failure he had ever had. He let down Jesus. I mean, he didn't just let him down. He let him down to the point, you don't think he blamed himself for Jesus getting crucified? I mean, you know, if me and Cliff were rolling, come here, Cliff, come here. If me and Cliff were rolling, and somebody comes up on us to mess up Cliff, and I just run and hide, and he gets killed, you don't think I got some guilt? You know, there got a little guilt. It's not just that he let him down, but he probably took some self-account responsibility for the fact that he even was crucified. When he heard that Jesus hung between heaven and earth and bled out, it wasn't just that, oh yeah, that was what he come for. It was, my goodness, I told him I would not leave him. I told him I would fight to the death for him. I told him I would never let go of the cross. I told him I would never backstab him. But when the time going got tough, everybody plans it great when the sun's out. First day of the altar, woo! First week of the altar, woo! But at some point, Ric Flair goes, what? At some point, life gets hard. And at some point, you get hit in the mouth. And so here's Peter. What do I do now? I just give up my career. I just put 3.5 years investment of my whole life into this guy who says we're bringing a new kingdom to earth. I was the leader of those guys around him, pretty much. I let him down. He's not dead. They're looking for me to kill me too. And even if he does come back from the dead, he's not going to like me very much anyway, because I let him down. I'm guilty right now, right? So Peter's in this dilemma, the letdown. He's had this letdown in his life. And he's got a decision to make in this moment. And this is what you got to get a hold of. If you live your whole life thinking you're never going to let down Jesus, you're wrong. If you live your life thinking you're never going to let down your mama, you're wrong. If you live your whole life thinking you're never going to let down your children, you're wrong. If you live your whole life thinking you're never going to let down your husband, you're wrong. Because you will let people down and you will let God down. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of what will you do on the other side of the letdown. What will you do when your world gets rocked? What will you do when you don't know where else to go? What will you do when your life is turned upside down? Because Peter had a choice in that moment. And what are his... It's almost like between a rock and a hard place. So, if the Romans and the temple priests are right, that Jesus is not real or a fraud or whatever, then Peter's just wasting his life and he's a wanted man and he's going to get killed. If Jesus is real and who he says he is, then when Jesus comes back, in Peter's mind, is Jesus going to be happy with me? Or did I just ruin that? Did I just ruin the opportunity I had? So Peter, that's where Peter stood. Where do you stand? Where do I stand? Where do we stand this morning? Peter had a choice. Jesus had told him what to do. What did somebody tell me? What did Jesus tell them to do when this happened? Anybody know? Who said it? Wait, where? Huh? Yeah, in Jerusalem. So Peter had been told what to do. What did Peter do? Huh? Where did Peter go?
Fishing.
Okay, you got to understand, where did he go fishing? Huh? Yeah, Galilee. How far is Galilee from Jerusalem? A long way by foot. Peter didn't just go out to the Pay Lake in Jerusalem. I'm sure they had that, I'm sure. Peter didn't go out to the catfish farm. Peter tried to go back to the life he had before he encountered Jesus to begin with. Peter, he's not Bill Nance, guys. He's not fishing for fun. Fishing is not fun for a fisherman. I guarantee the last thing he ever wanted to do for a day off is throw a line in the water. It's not what he likes because he does it for a living. He's a commercial fisherman. Peter went back, not for a relaxing day on the lake to unwind. He tried to go back to the very life that Jesus had called him from. Let me tell you a secret right now. Every time you get to the letdown in your life, the devil tries to talk you to go back to what you were or where you were or who you were before. Here's your problem. The person or thing or where you were before wasn't working back then. That's number one. And number two, once you really encounter Jesus, you will never be satisfied. Because the race is so silly and irrelevant, right? But Peter, that's exactly what Peter tries to do. And remember, Peter's anointed. Well, I thought he just messed up. He's still anointed. And so he's still using his anointing even in his mess up because they follow him. They follow him. And so these cats follow him and they all go back and let's just try to pretend. Can you imagine that? Jenny, could you imagine that? Let's just try to pretend we didn't see cancer healed. Let's just try to pretend we haven't seen people locked away with years left on their sentence come out and get clean and serve God. Let's just try to pretend we haven't seen people delivered from drugs. Let's just try to see we haven't had people in the middle of a service resurrected from the dead and it happened. Let's just try to pretend we didn't see all that. Let's just go back, Regan, and pretend it didn't happen. Peter, pretend you didn't see Lazarus come forth. Pretend you didn't see him walk on water. Let's just pretend none of this happened and go back to spending all night throwing nets in the water and hoping you get enough to feed your family. But that's where Peter was. Because he was on the letdown. He was at the point of letdown. In a desperate situation, he said, I'll just go back and try to pretend. You know what's amazing? Despite the letdown that Jesus knew was coming and told him it was coming, Jesus loved him too much. That's right. Because Peter went all the way to Galilee out in the middle of the water. You ever done that? You ever tried to run from God? Boy, I have. I would be taking off my shoes and toes if I had time to do it. I'd be counting. You ever tried to hide from God? They go out in the remote area, way away from where they're supposed to be. They go out on a lake, a sea of Galilee, way out from anything. Out in a remote area. And they go out on a piece of land. Who is it?
Jesus.
Because Jesus didn't forget about him in his letdown. Jesus never forgot about him in his letdown. Jesus was there waiting. You know what's funny? Oh, you got to get a hold of this. All right, you got to get a hold of how powerful Jesus is. You got to get a hold of it. This is amazing. I was supposed to read that scripture. It's in John 21. I've already just described what happened. They're out on the water. Now, Jesus had told him to go to Jerusalem. So you'd think if Jesus was looking for him, he'd be sitting waiting on him in Jerusalem. But Jesus told him to go to Jerusalem. But something he knew, them old boys was going to run back home. And so Jesus was back out like waiting on him. Isn't that amazing? We think we're hiding from him. He's like, I know where she's going to go. So, Jesus says, I'm powerful. Oh, I will read real quick. John 21, I'm going to read out of Passion real quick. Later, Jesus appeared once again to the group of his disciples at the Sea of Galilee. It happened one day while Peter the Rock, Thomas the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, Jacob, John, and two other disciples were all together. Peter told them, "I'm going fishing." And they all replied, "Well, we'll go with you." So they went out and fished for the night, but they caught nothing. Then at dawn, Jesus was standing there on the shore. But the disciples didn't realize it was him. He called out to them saying, "Hey guys, did you catch any fish?" I mean, Jesus is clever, man. I mean, really, Jesus is clever. Some of y'all think you're running from God, you think you're real clever. And he's like, "Hey, hear me, did you have a good time last night? Did you? Did you?" "I didn't think so. I didn't think so. How's it working out for you? Liking that life you're doing?" "I didn't think so. I didn't think so." So he says, "Hey guys, you caught any fish?" I'm getting back to the scripture. And they said, "No, we've not caught a thing." And Jesus shouted to them, "Throw your net over to the starboard side. You'll catch some." And so when they did as he said, they caught so many fish, they couldn't even pull the net. Now you got to stop right there. You got to stop right there. Where did you saw the video, you've read the scripture. Where did Peter first fall in love with Jesus?
On a boat.
On a boat where he hadn't caught any fish all night, and Jesus said, "Throw your net in," and he pulled out a miraculous. What Jesus done is he's literally took Peter back to the very spot that his heart caught on fire. He took him back to the very spot where his heart first burned for Jesus. And he said, "You know what? In essence, do you remember Peter? You seem to have forgotten me. You seem to have forgotten me in all your let down and problems. Do you remember that moment when your heart burned for me? Do you remember that? Took you to that very spot." Come on, you can't make that up. I'm going to tell you what happened. So Peter got excited. He ran ahead of those. He left the fish in the boat. And he just said, "I need you. I can't run from it. And I can't live without it. And I try to. But I need him. I need him more than that fish and this stupid job and these nets. I need him." Jumps in and he runs ashore. Jesus is just so loving. There he is. He's got a fire going. Take him back again. Last time he saw Jesus, eye to eye by a fire. I don't know that cat. And they're the same eyes by the fire. Look in the eyes. Remember Peter. But here I am anyway. Yeah, I saw the hurt. You let me down. But here I am anyways. And here you stand. Here you stand. On the other side of the letdown. And so, you know, they made the fish. And Jesus gives him three opportunities to affirm his love, because how many times did Peter deny Jesus? And I want to read that out of the Passion. I've heard a lot of good sermons over agape love and filial love. But I like the way the Passion translates the Greek, which translates to Aramaic. The Passion translated in English, what the disciples wrote in Greek, what was said in Jesus in Aramaic. So you get all that right. And so, I like this. It says this. After they had breakfast, Jesus said to Peter the rock. I mean, Peter probably thought he would never see Jesus again if he didn't. He probably thought he would give him the cold shoulder, be angry at him. I mean, they knew the Old Testament too. And remember one time they were trying to get Jesus to call down fire and destroy some people, you know? Maybe they thought that was coming. I don't know. But he's right there by the fire, and Jesus. Right. Yeah. That's what we should. And Jesus said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah. Again, I can't get over this with all these flashbacks. What did he tell him in Matthew when he said, you are now Peter the Rock? He first said, Simon, son of Jonah. Flesh and blood did not disclose this to you. You are now Peter the Rock. But in this moment, he's remembered back to. He flashed back to the moment where Jesus called him the Rock. And Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, John, do you burn with love for me more than these? I love that translation. Do you burn with love? We use the word love a lot, right? There's so many people that come up to me and say, I love you, brother. I'm not judging, but I don't know. Because I've probably done that myself to people over the years. Not that I hated people, but did I really love them every time I said love? Right. Love you, bro. Love you. Love you. Yo, love. Love you. Peace, love, bro. No, you, come on, Steve. Guys, hang with me. But he says, he didn't say, do you love me? He said, do you burn with love for me more than these? Now, the more than these, I'm not going to get much off into. Some people think it meant the fish, meaning his job. Some people think it means the other disciples because he kind of had a cocky edge to him that I'm the one who won't let you down kind of guy, Jesus. Pastor R, me and you know, I'm the inside, so you know. Rest of these cats, they might let you down, but you know, I got your back. So some people think Jesus was talking about, do you love me more than the disciples? Some people think he was talking about, do you love me more than your old life, the fish? And some people think he was just reminding Peter of his boast. His boast. That Jesus, they might ruin, but I'll never let you down. Right? I don't know. But he does say, do you love, you burn with love for me more than these? And Peter answered curiously. He said, yes, Lord, you know I have great affection for you. Phileo versus agape in the Greek. So Jesus says, do you burn with love? And Peter, in essence, says, yeah, I like you. Get hold of this. Get hold of this. Jesus asked him, do you burn in love with me? Peter didn't say yes. He said, I like you. I like you. Yeah. I like you. Jesus, oh Lord. Yeah. And so Jesus looks at it again and says, take care of my lambs. So many people come here and they, when you first come, you're here to get restored, you're here to get healed, you're here to get plugged in, you're here. But at some point, you've got to be about the body. You've got to be about taking care of the sheep. And if you're not into that phase, if you're always searching for what's good for me, what's good for me, what's good for me, you'll never make it anywhere. So Jesus then repeated the question a second time. Simon! Son of Jonah. He still called him Simon, too. Simon's old Peter. Old Peter fished all night. New Peter walks on water and heals the sick and raises the dead. So he said, Simon, do you have burn with love for me? Burn with love for me. He asked him a second time, are you passionate for me like you were when you said you would be there? said you would change the world. When you said you would do all this, when you said you would be a deacon, when you said you would make a commitment, when you said you'd be a disciple, when you said you'd never go back, when you said all that, you burned. Do you burn? Ask him a second time. Peter, Simon, we're calling him Simon because Jesus called him Simon. Simon, again a second time, said, yeah, I like you. I like you. You know what the problem with this modern church is?
Come on.
Got a lot of people like Jesus. He's cool.
All right. All right. Oh, that's a word.
Yeah. And when you like Jesus, that's cool. Right. You get some good t-shirts, man. You listen to some good music. Yeah. If something goes your way, you can sure point up to the big man. If you want to see blinded eyes open, and you want to see dead people get out of the grave, and you want to leave a legacy that your children can really walk in, then you got burned with passion. We were, I got to say this, we went to a basketball thing yesterday. I just got to say this real quick. Went to an area of Eastern Kentucky we went to that I hadn't been in years. And that flood had come through, I think, and it looked like a war zone. And it was sad because a lot of houses that used to be big old houses and stuff, they were just wore down. A lot of them abandoned. And it came to wild. Well, one, the flood, but two, I thought, what's happened is there's a generation back when I was a kid, all those houses, the yards were mowed. The fences were painted. I'm not saying that makes you, oh, Lord, please. We need a lawnmower, oh my goodness. I'm not criticizing anybody for your house maintenance. But what's happened is there was a generation that died and they left, come on, they left those houses to the next generation. But that next generation didn't value that house like that generation valued that house. And so now that's in disarray. And the sad thing is, that other generation, they valued that so much. I'm leaving this for my son, but it's trash now, Josh, because the next generation didn't value it. We got to leave a legacy behind, not of stuff and not of like. Like won't get you very far. I want my kids to know that Daddy burned with passion for Jesus. Even on the other side of the letdown, come. Even on the other side of the letdown. So third time, we got obstacle course. Third time, Jesus asked him the third time. This time he flipped the script. Now he doesn't call him Simon. He reminds him who he was, who he is, who I made you to be. Says Peter. He's calling him Simon the first two times. Old Simon the fisherman. Old hot-headed Simon couldn't get along with nobody. Old hot-headed Simon had to work the hoot out. Old hot-headed Simon, everybody couldn't stand to see him come. Old hot-headed Simon, you couldn't work with anybody. Now he says, Peter. Petra. The rock. And he flips the script up. He goes, Peter, do you really even like me? But it says, he takes away the burning passion. Because Peter's already denied that twice again.
Right.
Think about it. We say Peter affirmed him three times, but actually, did he? Jesus asked him twice, you burned with passion. Peter said, well, I like you. So the third time, Jesus says, Peter, do you even like me? Do you even like me a little? Those old notes in school, he says, do you have great affection for me? Now what sounds more strong? Burn with passionate love or have affection? But Peter does something interesting here. It snaps something in Peter. And I don't know if it was the calling his name or it was Peter pointing, it was Jesus pointing out, dude, I get what you're saying. But Peter flips the switch. And in a moment of what I could only imagine to be great release, he said Peter was saddened by being asked the third time. And he said, "My Lord, you know everything. You know that I burn with love for you." And so Jesus replied, "Then feed my sheep." Now, I've thought about this some over the years, and I've thought about it in anticipation of sometime giving this message. Why did Peter change his story the third time? I mean, the first two times, Jesus clearly asked him, "Do you burn with passion?" And Peter denied it and said, "In essence, I said, I like you. I am very affectionate for you." So why the third time? I mean, did Peter just all of a sudden fall in love with Jesus again? I don't think so. Here's what I think. They say, don't preachers think, preach what the Word says. Well, the Word does say this, but I'm going to give you something that I interpret out of this. I believe with all my heart that when Peter told him the first two times, "I like you," I believe Peter knew he loved him. I don't believe Peter changed his, I don't believe Jesus changed his mind right there in that moment. Because when you hear the third time, Peter almost likes, "All right, you got me. You know everything. And you know I really love you." Peter's shame at the letdown. Get hold of this. Peter's shame at the letdown created a situation where he was embarrassed to even say that he burned with passion because he was ashamed of what he had done. He let Jesus down so bad that he couldn't look him in the eye and say, "I love you with passion." Because he let him down. And that makes sense to me, doesn't it? You? Yes. You ever let somebody down and you don't even look him in the face?
Yes.
Peter really did love him, but he was ashamed. He didn't know Jesus would even accept him back. He was ashamed to put his heart out. He didn't want to put his heart out there again, afraid he was going to get hurt and let down. Tell him right now I love him this much and he rejects me, it's going to hurt. Because he's on the other side of the letdown. But Peter knew that Jesus knew. And so when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you even like me, Peter?" Jesus said, "Lord, I can't lie to you. You know my heart. I burn with passion for you." Jesus said, "You know what, then? Get off that boat." There's a t-shirt. I'm not going to go there. "Get off that boat and get back to doing what I called you and made you to do." Peter, we just spent 3.5 years working this stuff out. You get off that boat and let's go change the world. Let's go rock this. Peter, the rock. Let's go rock. Let's go rock. Let's go rock. So, Peter always had that purpose. But on the other side of the letdown, he found himself standing in front of Jesus with a choice. And what Peter did in that choice determined what happened next. It wasn't what Jesus decided to do next determined, because Jesus has already determined it. Jesus has already destined Peter. Jesus gave Peter a destiny. Jesus gave you a destiny. He put a destiny in your heart. He made you for a purpose. That amazing prayer earlier, of course, for a purpose. Every person in this room, I don't care how small, how old, how big, how little, how sick, how frail, how strong, how big, God put a purpose inside you in your mother's womb. He has big plans for you. I didn't say he had. I said he has. And when he put that plan inside you, he knew that one day you'd be standing in front of him on the other side of the letdown. And he still put it in there anyway. He said, yeah. When you come out of that, put your big boy boots on and let's go to work. So, and he said, well, that's good how you know that, Heath. Well, it's funny. There's this thing called the Word of God. And it's how we measure all this stuff against it. And in the Word of God, Luke 22, can you put that up in the NLT or in King James or NIV or something like it, whatever we got up there. Luke 22, 31 and 32. I just want to read you this to show you that Jesus knew the letdown was coming. Luke 22, 31 and 32, and it don't matter what translation you use as long as it's the Bible. Simon, Simon. Now, this is before the letdown. It's right around the Last Supper, okay? Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. Next verse. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, now you go and strengthen your brothers. Now I want you to hear this. You better hear this. You've heard us preach about sifting before. And if you're asking why there's a lizard up here, I have no idea. Some kids left a lizard up here, but I've been grabbing it. I don't know why I'm grabbing it, but it's fine. It's a blessed lizard at this point. Somebody said, why is he holding a lizard? You're waiting for the punchline, a lizard at the end. It's not, it's nothing to go along with the sermon. Some kid, it's just a lizard. Sorry. I want you to get this right here at the end. Jesus knew the letdown was coming. And he says, Satan will sift you like wheat. And we preach this, you may have heard this preached a thousand times, but here's what this is talking about if you've not heard. You're not listening if you don't know this. But a sifter, it's like this grated filter, a metal thing, screen. And they take the wheat and they shake it violently. They shake it hard. Why do they do that? Because the wheat has a protective coating on the outside called the chaff. It's useless. You can't eat it. You can't do nothing with it. But if you can break off that outer chaff, there's a little grain on the inside that you can do amazing things with. You can feed the world with it. You can make bread. You can make pasta. You can make wheat germ. You can make shrimp sandwiches, shrimp gumbo, shrimp. You can make anything you want. But you can't use it till you take it to the shaking. Shake it loose. Now, do you think sifting is fun for wheat? Probably not. Probably hurts. So I'm thinking, you know, Jesus is this really nice, cool dude. And why did Jesus and the devils have to do whatever you tell them to? Please, Master, throw us to the pigs. You know, have mercy. Jesus can do what he wants. Why did Jesus not just prevent Peter from being sifted? He says, Satan wants to sift you. And after he does and you mess up, then strengthen up and repent. But see, I'm thinking, that seems like an unnecessary, stressful situation. That doesn't sound like a fun way to do things. It seems unnecessarily harsh. Why should I be sifted? Why didn't Jesus just say, Satan, don't you touch him? But Jesus didn't say that. Jesus said, yeah. Peter, you're getting ready to get shook.
That's right.
Yeah. But you hang in there and you strengthen up. Because what's on the other side of the shaking? Yeah. That's the part I can use in you, Peter. See, you got some stuff on you I can't use. You got some stuff on you. Some of you, you got that germ and that wheat down in there. You got that grain down in there. We got some good stuff down in there. But you got some junk on you that Jesus can't use you in your current situation. So sometimes he's got to take you through some shaking. You got to get shook. Some of us got to get shook to knock off some stuff. So we can use that wheat. All that stuff. I think sometimes life, purpose is that little seed. And life goes us sometimes with stuff. And we're all just a mix. Some good, some bad, some usable, some not so usable. Jesus, just let me. I'll let Satan shake you. But you stay strong.
That's right.
You repent. And when I give you where I can use you, you strengthen your brothers. We're going to change the world. So Jesus knew the letdown was coming. He said it there in that prayer, and he said it right to Peter's face when he said, "You get ready. You get ready to sell me out, big boy." But Jesus knew all that and still planned to use Peter to change the world. So what did Peter do besides be a disciple? What did Peter do on the other side of the letdown? Well, a lot of things. I won't go to all of it. Think you can thank me for that. Acts 2, he gave the most important message in the history of the church because it was the first preaching of the gospel. When Pentecost came and he came down the street and he preached for the first time. Jesus lived the gospel, but Peter preached the gospel. He talked about the whole gospel, the word of God. It's kind of like Hatch on Survivor. Peter, Holy Spirit inspired, but he invented what we do. In fact, 1 Corinthians 1:21 says that Jesus takes delight in using the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, to save the lost. Where'd that come from? Holy Spirit used Peter. Come down out of that upper room. And say, this is what's going to change the world. Thousands.
Amen.
And thousands, day after day, they grew. Peter was the head of the early church. And then when it came time, as Jesus predicted, for Peter to leave this earth, he again had that same choice. Do I deny him again? You know what? By that fire on that lakeshore that day, I believe with all my heart, Peter said this. You know what? I'll probably mess up again. The Bible won't say this. This is me saying, I bet you Peter did this. I may let him down again, but I won't deny him again. Because when it came time for him to leave this earth, he was crucified upside down, and he would not recant. He would not take back what he said. Because he made his mind up in that moment.
Yes.
Not again. Yes. Not a fourth time.
That's right.
Not a fourth time.
Amen.
So here we stand.
Yeah.
Peter was the one who walked through the streets that were trying to get people in his shadow to be healed.
Yeah.
God had purposed that. God had created him for that moment. But Peter had lost his way. Peter had been sifted, and Peter had let Jesus down on the other side of the letdown. Peter had a choice to make, and he stood before him and he made his mind up. And today, we're here, we might be on the other side of the letdown. You might be on the other side of the letdown. Maybe things didn't go the way you planned. Maybe things didn't work out perfect. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you hurt others. Maybe you're ashamed. Maybe you're guilty. Maybe I don't know it all. But here we stand. And here we're faced with the same man. He knows you, and you know him. He created you. And so what are you going to do in this moment on the other side of the letdown? That's the question. That's the question Peter had. And that's the question we had today. It's easy for us on the other side of the letdown. We're done. It's easy for us on the other side of the letdown to say we fell too much and we forfeited God's purpose. But I remind you what God showed Peter. That Jesus knew you were going to let him down and he called you anyway. But what he does want to do today is what he did to Peter, I believe with all my heart. He wants to remind you and me of the place I first fell in love. He wants to remind you and I of when our hearts burned with passion, when nothing else mattered and nothing was going to get in the way. It did. But here we stand, and what are we going to do about it? I believe Jesus prays that prayer over each of us. When Father, when Satan sifts, let him keep the faith. Let him repent. Let him come back and get the brother strong. God has a purpose for each and every person in this room. Your letdown should not define you. If it does, you've caused that.
Yes.
Because Jesus is here saying, he's being like me. He's probably saying, Heath, do you burn with passion for me? I like you, Lord. Heath, do you burn with passion for me? I like you, Lord. Lion, do you even like me? Don't forget the place where your heart burned. If you're here this morning and you've lost that, let's light it up and burn for you. Could you bow your heads? Thank you for being patient. I know we've had a lot going on today, and I was really debating whether even doing this work today, because there was anointing and flow going on too, and it's, every week it's something you're just trying to ride. But I believe God, the fact that God let me get this out, I believe God wanted this word out today. Because I believe what God wants to do is bigger than us, and I think it needs our whole heart. We got to burn like we've never burned. Because if you lie, you'll mess up, you'll fall, you'll fail. Life don't last. Life doesn't last. Affection doesn't last. You know why it's important to Jesus? Because Jesus called Peter to change the world, and he knew that the only way he would ever do it is have a burning heart. If you're just halfway committed to something, Peter would have never stuck it out. Peter would have never been crucified upside down. Peter would have never made it to Pentecost. But when you have a burning passion inside you, God can use that. So if you're on the other side of letdown, meaning you're human, at some point you feel like you have let him down, he's here to tell you, I love you. Get up. And burn again for me. Burn again for me. If there's anybody in the room right now, nobody's looking. There are people coming. You can come. You don't have to. I'm not here to. But if you're not coming, keep your head bowed for me for just a second. If you're on the other side of the letdown and Satan's telling you that you've messed up too bad, that you forfeited your purpose, nobody looking, would you raise your hand with me? Hand with me right now. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. You doubt whether or not you can do what you were called to do or made to do or created to do, or you even doubt what you're created to do at this point. Anybody else says, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Peter, do you love me? You want to know where it all comes back to? There's no magic formula. It's just burning with love for him. So if you had your hand up at any point and you're not up here praying already, put your hands up to me right now. I'm going to pray a prayer over you right now. Right now, keep them up and pray together. Lord, for each and every hand up here right now that the enemy is trying to sift them and take them out, you give them the courage right now in Jesus' name to stand and say that they love you. In Jesus' name, give them the courage right now when I ask them to come forward and burn for you again. Now, one, two, three. If you got your hand up, I want you to come forward right now. Come. I just prayed for courage for you. Now, I want you to come. I want you to come. Because God wants to set you on fire. I want you to come. I want you to come all over this building. If God's speaking to you right now, I want you to come. I want you to come. to the place of the burning heart.